Liquor Talk, brand new episode starts right now. Welcome on, welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. I'm your man Victor. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Orlando, recorded out of the Studio Max, better known as the Independent Dream Factory. If you're ever in Florida, come on down to the Independent Dream Factory because that's where your dreams come down. It's right by Universal Studios, right here in Orlando, Florida. And joining me today, she is the host of the Posh Talk podcast. She's the Posh Queen. It's Sierra holding it down out of ATL. How you doing, Sierra? And welcome.
I'm doing great. Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, we are so happy to have you on this Friday.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's jump right into it. Tell the people about the power of Posh Talk.
Absolutely. So Posh Talk is an entrepreneurship podcast. I discuss everything from relationships and lifestyle under the lens of being an entrepreneur. This podcast is a great way for anyone who is looking to start their business or just, you know, you do have a business, but you want to a space that you can empathize, a space that you feel free to listen, learn, laugh. And I created it just so that, you know, people understand the actual real concept of what it is to be an entrepreneur. So yes.
That's real. That's real. So how'd you get started with podcasting?
Oh, so back when I was studying for my undergrad, that was in Charlotte. I went to Johnson & Wales University and I studied fashion, merchandising, and retail. And honestly, I needed something to do when I was walking to class because I was like in the middle of uptown Charlotte. So we weren't on a closed campus. It was very much open in the city. So I had to walk two blocks up to class, not too long, but I needed like something to kill those 20 minutes to and from class. And that's how I got into podcasting. The very first podcast I listened to was The Real, you know, the OGs. And I honestly loved it. I didn't know that I wanted to get into podcasting because I felt like I didn't have too much to say. But the more I started building my brand as being the Posh Queen and having a posh lifestyle and just branding in general, that's when I started falling in love with, like, you know, everyone has something they have to say or need to say, and you never know who actually wants to hear your story or needs to hear your story.
That's real. Now let's go to this Posh story. How did you come up with this concept? Because like I said, I checked out your page. I see you have the Posh Talk and I see you have the Posh Consulting and all that stuff. So how did you come up with all this concept?
Oh my gosh. So I don't know how I came to Posh, but honestly, I've been Posh like my whole life. And most people just say like, oh, you're just really bougie. And I'm like, bougie doesn't feel right to me because Posh is very elegant, classy, fashionable. And I feel like I encompass all of those things, but yet I'm still me. And being Posh isn't like always being super polished, but it's honestly just being like your most uniquely part of you that's just elevated, if that makes sense. So from there, when I was like in college, that's where I kind of came up with the whole Posh aesthetic and where I wanted to lead. And then I knew I wanted to be in entrepreneurship, but I didn't necessarily know where I wanted to take my business. But upon graduation, I knew I wanted to work in marketing. And I went back to Savannah, Georgia, and I couldn't find a marketing job at all. So when you can't get a seat at the table, you make your own. And so I created my business, Posh Q Consultations, and it's branding, creative consulting, and pretty much marketing and everything that encompasses all of that. And I consult small businesses and startups. I originally started with just doing a lot of like graphics and everything, but now I've kind of move more into like the web designing space, and I still have I still have sessions with my clients, and I'm a 24/7 consultant, if that makes sense.
I mean, how do you do it? Like, how do you be this 24/7 consultant? Because I'm pretty sure you have your days where you're like, you just want to date yourself, but being around the clock, you really don't have that because you don't have your business consultants, your business people calling you, want your advice on their business.
Right. And so how my consulting honestly works is you book me for the month, right? But you will you book me for an hour and I'm your consultant for a month. So we can't cram everything in the hour. So I say I'm 24/7 because you can honestly reach out to me and call me, you know, within respectable hours. But essentially, I'm going to pick up. I'm going to respond to you. I'm going to be working around the clock, researching whatever I need to do for you. And then, you know, if we have a project, that's always like an ongoing thing that I work on. So I honestly don't have a lot of, I would say, like, time where I'm not working. I'm literally always working because if I'm not doing my business, I'm at my full-time job because I do have a full-time job. I'm not a full-time entrepreneur yet. But that's why I started the podcast, because I wanted to talk to that, to let people know, like, you know, this whole entrepreneurship thing that I have going on, it may look really nice and aesthetic, but you really don't understand like how much I work. Like, just to get the recent podcast episode out this week, I didn't go to bed till 2 a.m. and I still had to like get up in the morning and I still had to like do something on the podcast. So it's not for the weak, but you know, I'm making an investment. So that's the whole gist of like why I'm doing everything I'm doing.
Yeah, understood. Those are definitely some solid reasons. Like, I feel you on the podcast thing, because this podcasting shit is definitely not for the weak, you know, and also marketing and, you know, a lot of stuff you mentioned, it's definitely not for the weak. So talk about a time when you wanted to give up on this and what kept you going through that, because a lot of people realize when times get tough, they say they quit to say the hell with this and go back to square one.
Right. I feel like when funds get low, honestly, yeah, like true. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all of this work and I'm not getting paid, or like I'm doing all this work and like I feel like the amount of effort I'm putting out, I'm not seeing a return. And that's the whole story of entrepreneurship. Like, some seasons is going to be like, wow, I have so much business and wow, like things are going so great. And then you go through a dry season and you're questioning, like, am I even supposed to be doing this? I haven't had any, because the podcast is honestly like really new. So I haven't had any instances of where I'm like, I really want to give up on it, because I really am so passionate about it and I really just love doing it. But at the same time, it's just like, being an entrepreneur, like with the business, that's like it's super difficult and that's super hard. So I feel like there's definitely been times where I'm just like, okay, I really want to take a break, not give up, but just take a break. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, I definitely understand that, because I'm pushing out these episodes and then I'm like, look, for a little while, I'm about to take a nice little break, because it's more than just putting out episodes. People got to realize with podcasting, with business or anything you're passionate about, it's more than just one thing. It's everything else. It's a lot of work that in some cases you're not getting paid for.
Exactly. But I might add that you're doing a really great job. Like, I see you being consistent, and I think that's the one thing that people like really take for granted, or they don't notice, is the consistency. Like, you have to get outside yourself and really understand, like, sometimes you're not going to be perfect at it. Sometimes it's not going to be as polished as you want it to be. But the fact that you keep going and you keep jumping over hurdles and you keep actually learning and living through it, that's what honestly is making you come out on top. Not having the best content or not having the most polished content, but actually showing up and actually taking up space. So I do commend you for that.
Thank you. And I do commend you as well. I see you got the business thing popping, you know what I'm saying? You got the business popping, you got the podcast going. Obviously, if you ain't popping, you ain't going to be on Liquor Talk. So, you know. Because I don't just bring anybody on, you feel me? That used to
I
be.
I feel you.
But nowadays, you got to be very selective, you know, because not everybody's worth it. On your last episode, you talked about pick me's and stuff. It's like, why is it when people say something that makes sense, they're labeled as a pick me or a simp? Like, what the hell is with today's dating society?
Oh, God. I really do think that, like, people don't understand the definitions of what these things are. And so even when I talk about controversial topics, sometimes I don't want to talk about them because I know something I'm going to say is going to get misconstrued. But honestly, a pick me is plain and simply, it's like a woman, but a man could be a pick me too. So we'll just say like a person. It's a person who's doing something that's seeking some type of validation, usually male validation. So that's the true problem with it. Like if it really is your true feelings about something, and you know, you're moving through life based on your own intuitive thoughts and your own intuitive feelings, then it's like, it's fine. It's just like you have a difference of opinion. But I find that when people talk about pick-me's, it's usually women saying like, oh, well, I'm so different because I'm not like other women. I don't do this. And that's supposed to heighten. And I don't ever think that you stepping on anything or anybody to get somewhere else, that doesn't heighten you. That just makes you look weird. So that's the issue with pick-me's.
Another one of my consultants, somebody I work with, just he was agreeing with everything you just said right there. And it's like, and I was agreeing with it myself. And it's like, if you, because I know from a men's point of view, that's like men can get like pick me if we're always genuine and stuff, but it's always, but you know, it's like, who the hell raised y'all? Like, shit, why is it bad to do right by people? My goodness, is this just, I understand it's a cold world, and I understand the part where everybody wants to get back at people for from what others did, but at some point, you gotta say, fuck that shit, you know? The real thing is getting away from that person that did that to you, and showing them that just because you treat me like this, it ain't stopping nothing, and that's you missing out, so.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. And so, it's just, I don't know. The whole debate, I try not to stay too long on those debates because I'm like, I'm very secure in my personhood and I know what I am and I know what I am not. So, and I don't deal with anybody who is like any type of seeking any type of validation from anybody. So.
Yeah, that's right. And if anybody, I have to give a book, I tell this perk, tell everybody read the book called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck, you know what I'm saying? Because that'll change your life, because I'm just like, seek validation from what? Like, if they're not doing any of the three F's, if they're not your family,
that part.
If they're not supporting you financially or bonus for y'all, if they're not fucking the shit out of you, then why do their opinion matter?
Right. And I think that's the problem that I have with the whole pick me issue, is because it's like, why are you caping so hard and why are you going so hard when like, you're just trying to be impressive, but like they're not doing anything for you. And you're doing all of this, not even knowing if you're going to gain a relationship or gain any type of like interest from anybody. You're just like spewing all like negativity or making yourself look weird. Like for what? Like be yourself.
Yeah. And I also say the same thing to the fellas that come out here spending all the money on the women, taking them to these fancy places and stuff.
Right.
Man, you can do all of that, and that woman will still not like you. That woman will find a way to go back to her side dude or her ex, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just because I thought that was the way, but you know what? One thing I've learned, if somebody really likes you, they don't give a damn about money.
They don't
give a damn about the things you say you can do for them. And also, they will be more caring to you, and they will see it as a team effort. As you care to me, I care to you. It ain't some, what can you do for me, or what can we do together, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like people in the Black community get hung up on these dumbass conversations.
They really do. And it really sucks because I feel like the conversation, it was okay when it first started, but it's like, I feel like we keep going in circles about like, what do you bring to the table and everything? And I'm just like, we need to elevate the conversation of like, well, what does the table look like? Like, who built the table? Where are we getting the table from? Like, how can we both sit at the table? And like, it's just, the conversation just needs to go further and past what can you do for me? Because relationships aren't supposed to be like, I'm taking from you. Like, it's never supposed to be, it's supposed to be an equilibrium, basically. So it's just like, why are we even discussing all of the things that I can get from you? Like, that's not why I'm here. Like, if I need to take from something, like, I don't know, I take from a bank. Like, I don't look at somebody who I'm supposed to be in a relationship with as a bank or like some type of way for me to like elevate my life. Like, I want you here because I want you here. Like, I don't ever want to be in a situation where I feel like I need someone to survive. And I feel like that's where these conversations even get birthed.
Yeah, agreed. And also, you know what? Not that I realize is the ones that don't agree with you who don't agree with what you just said, mm-hmm. that want to call you pick me, I realize they are bitter, and they are just bitter, and they are just miserable because what mm-hmm. they're doing is clearly not working, you know?
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, you have that attitude. You might have that, oh, all this, but where's it getting you, you know? Like, mm-hmm. but with someone with your mindset, yeah, you should be able to find somebody, but we know.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I feel like I'm never in those conversations because it's just like, y'all be talking like, I feel like it's always like a, oh, well, like, that's why you don't have a man, or that's why you're like, whatever. And I'm like, first of all, I don't date men. And then I'm never truly like ever single. So I'm like, I don't have these issues of like not having a companion. Like, that's never been my narrative. So it's just like.
Oh, so you don't like men?
I never said I don't like men. I said I don't date them. I don't have a problem with men. It's just, that's just not where my sexuality is.
I understood. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Look and Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Go ahead and pull up if you haven't done so already. Go ahead, tune in with listeners on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts. Go ahead and tune in wherever you find it, you know, ladies and gentlemen, because we everywhere, y'all. We just that podcast, and we are truly everywhere. So what was your favorite episode of the podcast that you dropped so far?
That's a good question. I actually did record, let's see, a birthday episode. What was that? It was like Virgo Party Part 1 and 2. I actually had my friend sit down, and we just had like a podcast episode, and that was really fun to make. And I feel like as far as like favorites that I have that I feel like it's really important, I can't think of the title right now. That's bad. But it's the episode where I talked about life insurance and having retirement plans. So that was, I feel like that was one of my most like important ones. Like, I did a lot of research because I actually did get certified in Georgia to sell life insurance. I said I don't do it currently right now because when would I have the time? But I did take the Georgia State life exam, and I passed that. But I did it so that I could understand life insurance and the actual impact, because I still want to help in that regard when we talk about getting our community insured and, you know, understanding the whole generational wealth, because I feel like we talk a lot about generational wealth, but our community, we don't really take all of the necessary steps that we need to secure that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We definitely don't take all the steps to secure that. All we see is everything in the short term. We see mm-hmm. everybody falling out now. We see all the trips and stuff. Everybody's spending the money.
Exactly.
It's like we see everything in the short term when really we need to be thinking the long term and stuff, because a lot of shit is going down that the government is doing there. Y'all ain't paying attention to, you know, because mm-hmm. people are so caught up and stuff. But I mean, too bad you don't sell life insurance in Florida, because you definitely would have had a customer, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, but it's all good.
It's all good. I probably could still connect you, you know, after everything. But the name of the episode is actually called Get Insured Now or Die Trying. And so I talk about the different retirement accounts that you can have. And I talk about life insurance and all of that jazz. But it's very intro level, but that's the point of my podcast. I really just bring a lot of information to my listeners, and I implore them to go and research more.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely respect that. And I hope your mm-hmm. listeners, I hope all listeners of all podcasts
yes.
go out and do your research and stuff, just listen to what somebody's telling you, because how mm-hmm. you can apply those things is you got to do your research on your own instead of just watching things on TikTok or YouTube mm-hmm. and stuff, like, because mm-hmm. there's so much you'll learn if you do it yourself compared right. to listening to somebody just talking about it.
Exactly. And I feel like that's something I always try to slide in every episode. I'm just bringing you this, and like, I still encourage you to still do your own research, because even I get peaked to do like a lot of my topics through social media, because I mean, I'm always on social media, and it's just my demographic, right? And so a lot of my topics, I'm like, oh, I see this. Let me go research. When I start researching, sometimes a lot of that, those topics I find, they go in the trash because I can't find credible resources, or I realize that social media completely twisted and turned it and it wasn't what the story actually was. So,
yeah, social media has ways of twisting things and twisting narratives and stuff.
Yes.
And also what I've noticed about social media is they'll find a sound bit, but then when you play the actual conversation, you're like, oh,
this is what really happened. Exactly. Yeah.
I can't lie to you. Rest in peace to Kevin Samuels, but I wasn't really big on his stuff until I saw on social media. And then I just got bored one night when I was at work. I'm like, let me just see what he's talking about. And I'm like, what I've learned about social media is they only want you to see the bad shit. They don't want you to see the whole conversation.
Yeah, they want it to be provocative. They want it to be like spicy, sexy, and they want to pull out the worst moments. But it's funny that you bring up Kevin Samuels because I feel like it's very like controversial. But I never used to like admit, I was just like, oh no, I find that some of the stuff that he talks about and says is like really funny and everything. But I feel like I only thought it was funny because he was there for entertainment. But at the same time, if you were to apply what he was saying towards women and men, it made a lot of sense. And he would do that, but they would always show him like attacking women. And they would rarely like show the clips of him actually getting men together. And I think that was always the issue I had.
Yeah, I had that same issue as well, because I went back and I played plenty of clips of him getting the men together. He harder on the men than he is the women. It's like, so, but like I said, rest in peace to him. And what I found out is you can't just go by social media clips and stuff, because you got to listen to the whole conversations. And even in podcasts, I find myself doing that as well. You got to listen to the whole conversation to figure out where they were going with it, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Now, what's something about podcasting you wish you would have known before you got started?
Something about podcasting I wish I would have known was, it's really hard because I feel like it's so much that like I didn't know, and so much that I kind of did know. I feel like as far as how it's perceived on social media, a lot of like podcast pages, they're it's easy to put out that content because, you know, you have so much audio. And then when you put a camera in front of you, you have video now. But it's hard to kind of grow those because it's in people's head. It's kind of like, why would I follow a podcast? And most people who do listen to a lot of podcasts and actually like interact with them, they still don't kind of follow their favorite podcasters. It's kind of a weird thing. I wish I kind of would have knew that, because I feel like I would have like went a little bit different with my branding, but it's still all a work in progress. And then I think the video aspect of it, I kind of did understand that the video aspect wasn't like that important, you know, in a sense, because audio is super important. But I think I just wish I would have went in knowing a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything. It's like, because when I first started, it was years ago, back in 2018, everybody was just focused on the audio. But then you got people wanting to get it on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing I was getting, like, whenever I told people that I have podcasts, they're like, that's the first question, is it on YouTube? They ain't asking if it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's like, they're like, oh, I need to see it. It's on YouTube. But now I'm like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think I also like, and I think what kind of prepared me, I'll say like, I guess like flipping your question, what prepared me for, I guess, the listenership part of it was having a business. You already know your friends and family aren't necessarily going to be your clients. So I didn't go in it expecting my friends and family to listen to my podcast, because they literally never listened to podcasts. The only reason they knew about podcasts for real was because I would be like, oh, this is my favorite podcast, or I want to start a podcast. But I never expect my friends to listen. And a lot of times they kind of like low-key don't. But I like it, because it's like, not like it, but it makes me keep going when I see like, oh, well, my downloads went up, like, you know, from last month to this month is double. And to know that my friends aren't in there, I'm like, oh, well, somebody sharing is reaching somebody. So it's kind of like, okay, but I feel like business prepared me for that.
Agreed. And I definitely feel you on the downloads and stuff, because it's like, I don't even look for people in my city to do it. It's just, even I don't embrace the fact that everybody, somebody in a totally different state, a place I'll probably never go to, will tune into podcasts more than people that's right up the street from me. But you know, one thing I realized about people, family, friends, it's like, they only want to show you love when they see you keep it going or you get some kind of recognition for it and stuff. That's the only times they really want to show love. Like, I think my uncle hit me up like, congratulations on your podcast, when he found out I'm going to speak in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For the podcast, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm like, I guess it'll take something big for family members to finally show love. And then if they do show love, they be the most negative ones. They like, you said this, you said that. I'm like, this ain't, I don't need y'all being sports in a play-by-play.
Right.
Like I said, it is what it is, whether you like it or not, you know what I'm saying? Because one thing I've learned in this podcast stream, everybody gonna have something to say about what you guys say. You just like, fuck it. Fuck what they gotta say, you know, and keep going.
Yeah, and I'm still getting to that space, because I told you, like, when I certain topics that come across my table, I get kind of like, I get cold feet sometimes with like posting it. Like, even if the podcast is live, I might still not clip it and put it on social media, because I'm super like nervous about like what people are going to think. And I'm just like, I have to just be myself, because that's why people are tuning into the podcast. Like, yes, they're tuning in for the information and the knowledge, but they like, you know, they like you as a personality. So you have to be yourself.
Yes, you definitely have to be yourself. And also, don't be ashamed to put that up, you know what I'm saying? If damn, you just gotta be like, hey, damn if they like and damn if they don't, you know what I'm saying? Just keep going. You just can't let it keep going. You gotta be Teflon. You just gotta learn how to bounce back, because one thing I've learned is not everybody's gonna like your stuff. So it's just, I'm like, even the conversations I think are a little controversial, I'm like, okay, I'll put it out anyway, you know? Even I've had conversations where I've had guests on, I necessarily don't really agree with what they gotta say, and I don't really like their demeanor and stuff.
Yeah,
I still put it out anyway, just didn't invite the guests back on, but you know.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because you really never know like who it's gonna reach or how it's gonna be perceived, because you're not in everyone's head. So I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep that in mind. I needed that.
I got you. You learn when you've been in podcasting for a while, you learn so much. And also, you're still learning, don't you? It's a never-learning industry. As long as you're humble and you just open to change and open to it, you'll be all right. And that's with any business, to be honest.
Honestly, it really is.
It's just a lot of change, a lot of moving parts that keep going and stuff. So it's a lot, though.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Also, shout out to my people down in Miami. Listen to this on WSXJ 97.3 Sunshine Jams. Also, the internet radio station. You can tune in wherever you at, ladies and gentlemen. So, going back to, talk to me about the importance of Black business. And because I was watching The Breakfast Club this past week, and I feel like The Breakfast Club becomes that place where if people are under fire and they need to justify their actions, they show up to The Breakfast Club.
They do. It's the culture.
I don't know if you saw that Ebony Williams conversation, but what she was getting at and the numbers she was throwing out, and I'm like, damn, why are we so low in this stuff when it comes to Black businesses and Black entrepreneurship and stuff? Why? It's like, I get it. We've had the handcuffs on us since slavery, you know what I'm saying? We've been discriminated against, but yet we still push them. So why do we think it's important that Black people to not only start their own businesses, but to support Black-owned businesses?
Right. Ooh, that's a lot. But I feel that everyone knows that it's systemic. Like, Black people don't earn the same as many minorities in this country, especially when you talk about Black women and Black men, we're disproportionately, you know, we're disenfranchised when we talk about salary and wage expectations, like, period. I don't know, like, the exact, like, you know, statistics on the dollar, but I'm pretty sure, like, what, for every dollar, like, a white man earns, we might earn, like, 75 or 65 cents or something like that, and that's really crazy. But I feel like Black business in general is important in our country because we live in a capitalist society. Like, our economy moves off of the constant flow of money of us buying and needing and buying and needing and supply and demand. And when we talk about building generational wealth in the Black community, which is, it's sad because I feel like it's on, it feels never ending, because we have, you know, our white counterparts who have generational wealth and have had generational wealth. And so they're miles ahead of us just because we've been oppressed for so long. And so it's like we're always going to be playing catch up. And if money was the issue, which most people think that it's just a money thing, it's not about money. It really is like a never ending system, because you have to think about where we live, like where the majority of Black people even live in this country. Like, we don't live in the best neighborhoods. A lot of Black people stay in food deserts. Like, a lot of, you know, even brown communities, they're hubbed in places where they don't have access to equal opportunities. But not getting into all of that, but I feel like entrepreneurship is so important because that gives us the leg up so that we can, you know, match our other counterparts, and we can get out of the rut of, you know, feeling disenfranchised and being disenfranchised. But we still have like so much of a ways to go.
Yes, we have so much of a ways to go to not feel disenfranchised, but it feels like for every step back, the people we put into office, shout out to my friend Juggy, he more covers this stuff, but I really do feel like a lot of people we put into office and stuff, they be fucking us up. They be setting things back and stuff. It's like, because I know you see what the politicians in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi doing. It's like, they really are like setting things back, because they're like, oh my goodness, we can't let these Black people get ahead of us. But what those politicians don't realize is they fucking things up for their own kind, you know? Exactly. But they really don't realize that, but their intentions is to mess things up for Black people, and it's just crazy. So another thing about Black businesses I want to know is, what do you think of this LLC boom where you got everybody on social media?
Lord.
Go get an LLC. Go get an LLC and stuff. And that $20 you spend that, and you could have put that.
I hate it.
And not everybody need to have a goddamn LLC, but
everyone does not need to have an LLC. And the thing is, that's so funny, is that's how I open up my show, and I say, like, you know, this is not, like, we're free of misogyny and LLC Twitter and the hustle culture, like all of that. I wanted to put it to bed because, yes, like, we hustle as like entrepreneur, but it's different hustling and actually being a part of hustle culture, being like, oh yeah, I don't sleep, I just like work. And it's like, that's not healthy and that's not sustainable. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And going back to LLCs, everyone does not need an LLC. You do not need an LLC to live. Like, it's just, it's not necessary, especially if you don't really have a want to be an entrepreneur. Like, I feel like people were trying to, like, in the pandemic, they got money and they were like, oh yeah, like, I'm about to make some money and I'm about to open a business and I'm about to, like, have an LLC and then I'm about to get funding and then I'm about to, like, do this. And it's like, that's not how any of that works. Like, it's just not. And it's sad because there really are people who really do want to start businesses and they want to actually, you know, do it the right way. But the whole climate is being clouded by all of, like, this nonsense and this rhetoric of, like, you can start an LLC today and get rich tomorrow. And there's literally, that's like, why are you trying to make an LLC like a get rich quick scheme? Like, that's just not, that's never how it's ever going to work. And oh yeah, just like, a if anybody does want help, like, you know, setting up a business and everything, my actual consulting business does help people with getting LLCs the right way and having good and proper expectations of setting up business bank accounts so you can get funding later down the line. But go ahead.
Yes, well, yeah, way to plug yourself. Good job. I don't blame you. I don't plug myself too, but you see this all the time, and it's like, I'm just like, it can't be that easy, you know, because they always tell you about the places you can get funding from and stuff, but don't y'all know some of them people, y'all got to pay them back? They might not be checking your shit right away, but you're going to have to pay them back, you know?
You do.
And then there's this thing called taxes.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many people get raped by the government when they're not on time with their government, you know, because if you're not on time with it, you better believe Uncle Sam gonna come back and take everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's sad because there is so much information out there, and there's so many people who are actual professionals who can help actual valid businesses. But I feel like people go to the internet and they run to the internet to figure out what they should do with their life. And it's like why? That's not how anything works. Now, the internet has so much valuable information, but trying to say like, oh, I'm gonna be an entrepreneur so that I can get rich, you messed up already. Like, that is not how entrepreneurship works at all. Like, yes, there is wealth in owning your own things, but, you know, are you starting a business and creating a bunch of liabilities? Or are you actually creating like assets? Do you actually have capital? Like, do you have a cash flow? Like, it's simple things like that. And a lot of people say no. And it's like, well, why are you in business if like you're not selling anything that's of any benefit to anyone? You're literally just here to make money. Like, nothing is ever going to profit from this. You're just like taking up space and wasting time. Yeah, but that might be a little harsh.
No, it need to be harsh, you know, because people need to hear that. And also, stop going on these crazy, because I know there are some women who think like Ebony Williams over here, thinking everybody needs to be an owner, when not everybody needs to be an owner. Mm-hmm. We need some people to be in the middle class sector who not really owning things and stuff, because they're the ones that make things go. And it's like, if you're with somebody, now, if you're in a relationship with somebody who's trying to push you to get an LLC because they're like, oh, I don't look at a person with LLC, then you with the wrong person, because they're looking at material things. You know, that's what it sounds like, because there are a lot of women that talk about, oh, I want a man with all this money and stuff. Yeah. Oh, he got to do this, he got to do that. I'm like, you know what? That's another thing. Y'all looking at the rooms with the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have the right businesses, you know?
Right. And I would say, like, when Ebony Kane Williams actually came and she was talking about, like, you know, what she wanted, I hated how they clipped that too, because Ayanla asked her would she specifically date a bus driver, and she said no. And I found nothing wrong with that, because it's just like, okay, yeah, that's not what she would date. Like, I mean, she said if he owned the bus. And so I was like, oh yeah, I do get that, because, you know, in her own right, she does have a very successful career. She does have a certain lifestyle. And I think people think that it's a lot about money. And they think it's like, oh, well, what can this person do for me? And I'm like, no, back it up, because the way men act about money is really wild. And I will say some women too, but people tie money into their self-value and their self-worth. I've like seen plenty of men act really weird, irate, feel less than, same with women. A lot of people hold themselves to how much they like net worth they have. And so if you have like a very successful woman and she wants to date somebody who just treats her right, but they make less than her, they may treat her bad just because like there's like, oh, she thinks she's better than me. Or like they feel like there's some type of like inequality there in their relationship because like, oh, she out earns me. And I'm not even saying this kind of like hypothetically, like I've dated somebody like this before. I've witnessed like, you know, friends and relationships like this before. Like it's something that happens. So I think the whole conversation of like, I need to date somebody who is at least in my tax bracket, I feel like it's not okay, because there's more than just, can this person take care of me? It's kind of just like, where's their mind at? Where's our lifestyles at? Like what is it to this relationship outside of what we can do for each other fiscally?
Yeah, basically. And also, you can't really look at those things, because time changes and things happen, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like you might have somebody who has a successful business now, or we might have that successful business, we meet them, but you don't know, shit happens. It's just, I hate to be devil's advocate here, but they might lose that business or they might lose that high paying job. And that then that will really test whether or not you really want to be with them. And also to the people that look at income and stuff, look at this, and based on their self-worth, they need help, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because income is going to fluctuate. You got to be happy with who you with no matter what. And if you find somebody that you could be, that's going to help you even when times are tough, that's a real one, because nowadays nobody want to help. They just want to be there for the ride, you know what I'm saying? They want to have someone take care of them. And also, I know some men are like that, want to live off their women. I'm like, no, it's like,
that's not okay.
We're going to put this shit together, you know what I'm saying? We're going to grind together. That needs to be the mindset. And no, we don't sign no damn pygmies, so y'all can shut the fuck up for thinking that, you know what I'm saying? Because your asses are miserable, you know?
Right.
But nevertheless.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like the issue is never going to ever be like, I don't know. I feel like personally my issue, like I have a whole laundry list of like people, of things I expect a partner to have that I date, that I know people are just going to be like, girl, what? But I'm just like, these are my personal preferences, and this is just kind of like how I want to gauge things. But like how I said, I don't have necessarily like, oh, I expect you to have like this level of income to date me. But as far as like, you know, tax brackets, it's kind of like, yeah, I would kind of like us to be somewhere in the same playing field, just so like things make sense. Because to your point, yeah, if I'm down, I would love it if you can help me be up, and vice versa, because I've never been one to be like, oh, well, like you have to take care of me and I'm taking care of myself. It's just like, no, I take care of me. And if you're a part of my life, then it's like, you're here too. Like I'm taking care of you. So I always believe in everything kind of being like equal in that sense. And that's not saying you got to split everything 50-50. That's crazy. But it's just like, it's like a, you have to be, know that you feel safe and you're supported in whatever relationship you're in.
Yes, yes. You definitely have to feel safe and supported in whatever relationship you're in. And also, whatever relationship you get in, that person you be with, they should be your number one fan. Like, if I ever found me, if I end up with a woman who has a boutique, I will show her boutique to my little sister and be like, sis, whatever you want, I'm going to buy it for you.
Right.
Bam, I'm supporting your business. And I'm also going to be shouting you out as well. I'm going to be liking, commenting, sharing everything. Exactly. We're going to be boosting that social media engagement up, you know what I'm saying? We're going to help each other out. Because I'm one of the people, I'm willing to help you if you willing to help me, you know what I'm saying? Don't just leave me out here in the cold. No, put me in here. Put me in the game.
Exactly.
Let's go, you know?
Exactly.
And we just got to make the dream work now, Jay, but too many people, they don't want to make the dream work. They'll look at you like you're crazy. I'm like, you know what? Well, you look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm trying to make something to last, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah. But I do... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were talking about Ebony K. Williams, and then it started making me think, because do you listen to the Breakfast Club like every day, or are you just kind of like dropping?
I tend to listen to it almost every other day, but I tend to drop in, but
listen to it like every day. But like, I don't know, they just kind of grew on me when I started listening. But it's funny because when they bought her on the Breakfast Club, that Charlamagne, he keeps saying it like every day, but he's saying like mediocre and like something, something, low expectations, because they really jumped on her for that statement right there. And I feel like that's something that like I feel is like so complex, because a lot of people said that they felt, you know, offended and attacked because she was saying, like y'all are mediocre, or y'all have average jobs, or like, you know, and she was saying that like, you know, the word average and like mediocre aren't necessarily bad things. Like the definition of it just means like, you know, like pretty sub, like standard, like average. But people are just like, oh no, like they said their job isn't average and all of that. Like, how do you feel about that?
About what? The job being average?
Yeah, like her thoughts on people being like, people working mediocre or average jobs.
it's like, you know, in that moment, I felt like she was really looking down on people. But it's like, I understand you want better for us. But the one thing she got to understand is everybody's working towards a goal and working towards their vision. And if your vision takes you to the mediocre job for a season, you work the hell out of that mediocre job to prepare you for what's the next level. Now, going back to the last podcast, episode 251, shout out to Bristol. Now, if your max, if your maximum is that, if that's your glass ceiling, if that's all you meant to do in life and you're happy, then more power to you.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out here that's gonna get that only see that mediocre job as only for a season. If that season lasts a couple of years, or however long it lasts until you get to the point where you make it big, you know? Because a lot of these celebrities, they start off small. They were doing mediocre jobs.
Right.
They were in their 20s and 30s and sometimes in their 40s, because you never know when that big break is coming. It's like, you got to work the mediocre jobs in order to get to where you want to go. Because if you show the universe that you can handle the mediocre job, you can be the best at the mediocre job, when imagine what will happen if you find something you actually liked. You're gonna be, man, you're gonna be damn good, the best. And plus, you gotta have them, you gotta maintain the yourself at the mediocre job,
right?
So that way, once you get the job you like, you don't fumble it. That's just how I feel about it. It's like, and she don't see it like that, and I'm okay with that, because you know, I'm not, because you know, she like what she like, you know what I'm saying? But the one issue I did have with her is, she got a lot to say for someone who, you know, I really don't judge people for dating their dating person. If you're going to go interracial, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of when I'm like, I look at the brothers the same way too. Like, I remember I had some coworkers that they were, these black men were always talking down black women. I'm like, if y'all don't shut the fuck up about black women, just go be with y'all Caucasian people, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But that's the one thing I do look down on. I'm like, this looks like you're taking a jab at men who work at black men who work average jobs while you with this Caucasian man.
Right. And I wonder, I feel like a lot of the things that like we deal with in life do come from like a place of trauma and pain, because I feel like she just hasn't had that many good experiences probably dating black men. Like, and I can attest to that. Like, that's very common. I feel like black men do get like really intimidated by black women, because statistically speaking, like, black women tend to be like, you know, they, we tend to go to college at higher rates and graduate at higher rates, and just from that alone, like, that does put you in like a different ball game when you're talking about like employment and the type of jobs you have and everything like that. And it's sad because a lot of black women, like, black women are known historically to hold black men down regardless. Like, that's just what it is. But black men don't always see it like that. And so I feel like because that historic relationship has happened, I'm pretty sure that she just hasn't had the best, you know, luck with finding men who are somebody that she would like to date. Like, she said she would date a bus driver if like he owned the bus company, basically. And it's because she wants a certain tier of like black men. But I'm just like, if we really want to be for real, like, the type of black man who she might like deem acceptable is probably going to have to make well over like six figures. They have to live in the vicinity of like wherever she's at. They like, you know, have to actually like black women. And then like there's probably like a other couple laundry lists of things that she has to check off that like we don't even know. And so that dwindles down her actual chances of finding her ideal black men to like maybe one in the city, if she even crosses chances. But when you put all of the things that she is looking for a man and you put him on to like other races, of course she's going to find somebody. And I'm not saying that like, oh, that's what she's going to do, but I'm like, I can see how that happened. And it, I think all of her words come from a place of like kind of like hurt and disdain, because it's like she wants to date a black man and she wants our men to be great. Because I think she understands that, like, dang, like, we can be so much better as, like, a race if, like, we can, like, raise all of, you know, our men up and our women up, you know, from the, I guess, not the bottom, but, like, raise them up to, like, a standard that I guess she deems fit. But, you know, success is also driven out of whatever you think success is.
Yes, definitely. Success is definitely driven out of whatever thing is. But we've all, us Black people, we've all had them struggles. And it's just, it's like, why is it that us Black people have the struggle of? Like, why do we got to deal with this?
I hate it.
I hate it for us too, because it's like, I deal with that same struggle as well. It's hard being a brother saying, I'm dedicated to women. Like, you got the HBCU graduate over here. Like, I'm still dedicated to my Black women and stuff. And then a lot of people are like, well, why you ain't find your love when you were at the HBCU? I'm like, well, you know what? Those are my personal mistakes. I still, I had to stop beating myself up for it because it just happens, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. I still love FAMU, even though FAMU didn't deliver me a wife. But even though it
did. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, I do get tired of that struggle of, and it's just, and also, I get tired of a lot of that. I see a lot for sisters that got to heal and a lot of brothers that got to heal. And not here to some mindsets of Black men, like, we got to pull through some of the shit to see a real one. No.
No, that was I literally just went through that and was like, I will not struggle. Like, I just don't have to. Like, especially, like, I'll say this, like, I'm a woman who takes care of myself. Like, I wish I had a handout, but I don't. I pay all my bills. Like, it's all me, right? And I'm running a business. It's all me. So it's like, when it does come to certain things as far as like struggling, I'm like, I work so hard so I don't have to struggle in life, period. So why would I struggle in love? Love is supposed to be easy, you know, like thoughtless, like carefree. Like, I shouldn't have to be sending paragraph messages once a week, crying three times a week, arguing for, like, that's not normal. And that's really normal to some people. And I'm just like, no, like, I've dated people and been in like relationships where it's like, we don't have to argue every day. We don't have to yell and scream at each other every day, even to just get a point across. And it's like, even if those things like don't work out, it's okay for things to not work out and honestly still be on like good terms. But like, I want us to honestly change the narrative of like what dating is supposed to be and what love is supposed to be, because it's not supposed to be like, oh, I'm going to hold you down. Like, you got to be a real one. It's like, you should, if you really cared about me, you shouldn't think that I should have to hurt to prove that I should be in like some type of spot or some type of like relationship with you.
Exactly. And also, you get, also people, you got to learn to stop projecting your insecurities on other people. And because that's what I'll be attracting. It's like, if you meet somebody that's treating you genuine, people tend to be like, oh, there's something wrong with him, and like something wrong with him or something wrong with her. It's like, no, that's just how they were brought up. And it's just, that's how it is. They're not going to treat you like shit. They're not going to treat you like dirt. And quit putting them fucking people in the friend zone. Because it's like, you know what? You know, a lot of people that say, oh, they treat you genuine. They call you a stump. They call you the pickpies. They put you in the friend zone. Oh, they got the business going. They got the business booming. Oh, let me put him as a friend or put her as a friend. No. I guarantee you the ones you look past probably do more than the ones that will put you through that struggle of.
Absolutely. And I feel like even on like the topic of like, oh yeah, the one, like going back to what you said about, oh yeah, like I'm like something's off about them because I'm not like, I guess I'm not fighting with them or they're not argumentative, because a lot of people, when you like are dating, a lot of people were brought up in the environment of kind of like they're always in the fight or flight senses because they were brought up having to survival. They're like bought up on survival versus like me. I was bought up through love. So even the way that I treat my friends, the way that I have like, you know, common interactions, like I'm not going to be super abrasive. Like, even when we're like arguing, I'm not going to say things out the side of my neck that like I don't mean. Like, that's just not how I am. But I find that sometimes I do get into like, you know, relationships. I'm dating people that I didn't automatically know that, oh yeah, they were bought up in survival. But I get it once we start going at it. It's like, oh, like, what have I gotten myself into? Because I see it, like, it's coming out now. And it's hard because it's like, I'm never going to like be, I'm not about to curse you out. Like, I'm just not, like, that's just not me. That's not my style. I don't want to be in that. Like, we might yell, but I'm not about to disrespect you. I'm not about to belittle you. Like, I'm just, I'm free of that.
Right. Right. I'm to that point as well, because it's like everybody's replaceable now. It's like if I feel myself getting to the point where I want to cuss you out and belittle you and stuff, then you just not gonna look at me, because I'm chill. I'm genuine, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not gonna do that, you know what I'm saying? And if you push me to that, you know, because I still got that respect for you, I still got that love for you. That don't mean take advantage of my kind heart. Right. I think a lot of black people need to realize, don't take advantage of someone's kind heart or take someone's kindness for granted, because that shit is gonna bite you in the ass in the end. And then years later, if someone you're gonna be calling that person saying, "I'm sorry," I'm like,
"Oh, that happens a lot."
it does happen a lot.
I'm like, "Do you know me? Like, you've been looking at my life."
No, because we've all been living the same life. We've all been making this is the thing us black people got, Russ. We all so damn similar.
So yeah, and I love it. It's like we're so similar, but we're not a monolith, and so it's so cool. I'm like, the fact that we've all lived like the same five lives is really crazy.
Yeah, it's a small world, and it's like it's really crazy out here. But the fact that we've lived those lives is, you would think it would be easier to find people out here, but now it's like mission impossible. It's like when you can go months without dating and you're not even thinking about it.
That's how you know it's traumatic.
Like, literally, like, my mother saw me like this past week. She was like, "Are you dating anybody?" I'm like,
"Oh, Lord."
And I'm like, "Mom, I don't even get me started on that. And I'm sorry your little pastor boo thing didn't work out, Mom." But
not pastor.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, she was trying to meet him when she was in town, but he didn't show up. I'm like, when she told me that, I'm like, "Mom," I told her, and that's when I was like, "Mom, don't feel bad. I ain't dating anybody in a minute." So
right, exactly.
But I don't know. What's something you want people to take away about business that you feel like us black folks don't understand?
Right. I think the one thing that I want people to take away from business that we don't understand is that you literally can make almost anything a business, but I don't want you to get into business because you're like, "Oh, I can make money off of this." I believe that you should get into business because you honestly think that you have something beneficial to help and offer the world. And I know that's really broad, but that's seriously where I feel like you should begin. Like, I started my business because I was like, "Okay, I need to, you know, figure out a marketing, you know, type of situation so I can keep strengthening that skill," right? But underneath that, I knew I wanted to help small businesses, and I wanted to help them build brands because I wanted them to compete against bigger brands. I wanted to see them in big box stores. I wanted to honestly help my community. So that's where my business birthed from. It all birthed from me needing a space for me to market and practice my skill, and me wanting to actually help people get their businesses off the ground. Because I knew that I could help people, but I wanted them to be more than like a glittery logo and they just sell to a couple people on their street.
Ooh. Yeah, that's real. That's real. Did you tap something? Live technical difficulties, y'all. Stand by. But I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with all your points on your business and stuff. So what you got planned for the podcast going forward?
Oh, I think my camera, I don't know how I can get it all back on. Should I just keep going like this?
It should. There's something you should like tap the if you click on the like the little logo, click on the three dots, it'll give you the option to either stop, start, or start the camera.
Okay.
All right, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is on, you know what I'm saying? It's right at the end that that things stop working out. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. This has been Liquor Talk. You know what I'm saying? Remember to keep it poured up, keep it booming. And our guest is coming right back. We are still going at it for the fourth quarter of the Liquor Talk season. We got another episode coming up with the Twisted Perceptions. That will be next week, y'all. So just stay in tune for that. But the guest should be coming right back, y'all, you know. But in the meantime, I hope y'all have been enjoying these episodes. If you can, please like, comment, and subscribe. Please like and share. Please leave a follow. please do everything, ladies and gentlemen. Just go ahead and tell us what you think about these episodes and stuff. And do you like it when we drop two episodes a week? Or do we just go back to weekly or bi-weekly? Y'all fucking talk to me, ladies and gentlemen, because we all got to make this shit happen, y'all. Because after all, this is the Liquor Talk Podcast. It's the podcast to tell you the more you drink, the better we sound. Also, shout out to the Black Podcast Association. We'll come back with them real soon. But yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I want to thank the Posh Queen for coming on, you know what I'm saying? Definitely appreciate her for coming on, holding it down out of Atlanta. And yeah, just look forward to the next episodes, the next rounds and stuff. But also, ladies and gentlemen, I do want y'all to know this one thing. Start the damn business. Do what you got to do. Hold on. I think she back, y'all. Hold on. Here we go. We about to wrap it up right now. All right, you're back.
Okay, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can.
Okay, that was a lot.
and it happened right at the very end, too.
That's crazy. I know. My camera was like, okay, girl, you got a little bit left, but come on, let's go.
All right, my last question for you is, why do people need to tap in and subscribe to the Posh Talk Podcast? And actually, this is going to be a two-parter. Why do people need to subscribe to the podcast, and why do people need to tap into your business?
Yes, you need to subscribe to the podcast because, honestly, if you really want to understand this whole entrepreneurship game from the real side of it, and I'm not talking to like you're on Instagram and you're seeing fast cars and all this money, like you really want to know what it is, I'm giving you real unadulterated things from my life. I'm bringing on other entrepreneurs that they share their actual experiences, and they're not just showing up about their business. They're talking about their relationships. We're talking about lifestyle, because the worst thing that you can do is think that you have this idea of what you think entrepreneurship is, and then you get into it and you're hit by a bus because now you don't know why your family is so distant from you. You don't know why people are like acting a certain type of way. You don't understand why you're having certain thoughts. So the podcast is honestly a good safe space for you to understand what you're getting yourself into, and just for you to have a peek into like the life and the world of entrepreneurship. And I spill a lot of knowledge and gems. And so you're always going to learn something. I talk a lot about entertainment business. I talk a lot about tech, honestly, and you know, you're going to pick up a lot of things as far as marketing along the way. So with that being said, also, I have Posh Q consultations. I am a consultant. And so if you ever need help with your business or a website, I'm here to help you. I believe in small businesses and startups, and I'm really passionate about the work I do. Yes.
I appreciate you for blessing the Liquor Talk with your presence. Whenever you're ready for me to return the favor, remember, I might be in Florida, but I'm just a DM away.
So
I'm ready.
I'm
definitely tapping, which I'm definitely ready to work. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you for blessing the Liquor Talk with your presence. And yes, I appreciate you, the listeners, for listening to Liquor Talk, taking an hour out your day, no matter what you're doing, taking an hour out your day to tune in to Liquor Talk, to pouring up with Liquor Talk, whether you're pouring up the brown, whether you're pouring up the white, whether you're pouring up the rum, or to the motherfuckers that don't drink, because we know there are some sober butterflies out there. Shout out to you. Y'all the real MVPs. Until next time, we out this thing. Deuces, y'all. Until the next episode, keep pouring it up. Remember, Liquor Talk's taking over the 22 and the 23. We out this thing, y'all. Goodbye.
Bye.